So really, I look at it as there's this explosion of science that day after day is validating what ancient wisdom always said.
Welcome to The Whole View. I'm Stacey Toth of Real Everything, and I'm here each week to dive deeper into how we can find happiness and health inside and out through self-love, body positivity, and discovering new ways to be our best selves. Before we get started, a reminder, this podcast is for general educational purposes and is not intended to diagnose, advise, or treat any physical or mental illness. And while Dr. Shivani is a PhD, she's not serving as your doctor, so we always recommend that you see a licensed health professional accordingly. That said, I'm super excited you're here. Dr. Shivani has been, and actually, I didn't ask you how to pronounce this word, so help us make sure that we're pronouncing
Ayurveda.
Ayurveda, so not Vedic.
In the West, we say Ayurveda because we're not used to saying the sound like we do in India. It's Ayurveda, like you're saying the.
Okay. So you've been doing Ayurveda practice for over 20 years and are an expert in fusing Eastern and Western practices that help our bodies achieve equilibrium. And I think that's a good mindset that we like to have here on the show in general. Like, there's a lot of benefit that can come from modern science, but there's a lot of things that we can learn and benefit from in terms of getting in touch with ourselves, our planet, you know, nature, all the things. And I love that's what you like to bring into the work that you do. As we were just discussing before we get started, you are also a busy wife and mother who understands the challenges that a lot of us modern women specifically face when it comes to putting health and well-being first. You're dedicated to sharing the healing properties of Ayurveda and bridging the gap between our hectic modern lives and applications of conscious living. And you have a master's in Ayurvedic sciences and PhD on turmeric, which we're going to talk a little bit about. That is a lot of learning on one thing. So I know you have a passion for it, as well as teaching at-home remedies that we can implement ourselves to reduce inflammation, increase energy, reduce brain fog, less pain, even ultimately achieve vibrant health. And you are also the founder of Fusionary Formulas, an Ayurvedic company that helps people with inflammation and pain. You've spoken at over 50 physician conferences, educational events, women's symposiums across the U.S. You've been featured in U.S. Weekly, Psychology Today, Entrepreneur Magazine, and more. And in India, just so everybody is aware and on the same page, because I know this is interesting to me when I was researching, that Ayurveda is considered a form of medical care equal to conventional Western medicine. So the education that you've received considers these practices and implements a lot of the things that you're going to talk about from the same kind of physician mindset that we would experience going to our doctors or different kinds of things here in the States. And so I think it's great to dive into what some of those differences are and what we can maybe learn and implement on our own. I will say that the show is rooted in science, and there are some things that are a little woo, and listeners, if they're not for you, that's okay. Leave them and take what works. I think that there's a lot to be learned from connecting mind and body, connecting Eastern and Western practices. And the keys to unlocking all of that are within yourself for what works for you. So whatever your health journey takes you to decide, let's figure it all out. Welcome, Dr. Gupta. Is it okay if I call you Shivani going forward? Okay.
Yes,
what did I miss? Tell me a little bit about yourself. Something fun, I always like to ask.
I love race car driving.
Never would have guessed it.
People think I'm so elegant and sweet because of how I teach and talk. But really, you unleash me on an expressway with my car and I'm like, boom. Like, I just want to be a race car driver.
Fascinating. Yeah. Okay.
So need for speed.
I think what's interesting to me is things like that often fuel a part of us, like an adrenaline rush, so to speak. Like, we did a show about people who are adrenaline seekers and what that biology is. And I think it's interesting how that shows itself in different people. So it's fun to learn those kinds of things about different people.
Yeah.
Can you just start with the foundation of understanding? Tell us, what is Ayurveda?
So Ayurveda is an ancient system of medicine and health and healing from India that's over 5,000 years old. And Ayurveda means the science of life. So it's really a science that's trying to show us how to live a lifestyle that will bring body, mind, and spirit into alignment. And so that goal is really just alignment. Like, how do you feel so good and vibrant in your body, thus feeling so vibrant and alive and happy and healthy in your brain and your mental health and your emotional health? And thus have that level of peace to have that spiritual or spirit connection that many of us crave. Not everyone, but many. And so really it's about how do we build that lifestyle? And so Ayurveda uses different tools and different pillars of health to get there. So we teach things like detoxification, how to eat, when to eat. We teach circadian rhythm, the circadian clock, this clock that just means living in rhythm with nature is better than living out of rhythm with nature. And so building that rhythm for yourself can be very powerful. We teach about gut health and the gut digestive fire and how that contributes to brain health, immune health, and all health. And then we teach things like your dosha or your mind-body constitution that dictates who you are and your kind of template in the world, and helps you understand what to eat, when to eat, how to sleep, how to support yourself to be more balanced overall.
I think a lot of that makes so much sense to me in the research that I've been doing as it relates to the power of positive mental health, and that many of us feel that we've tapped into that when we feel at ease in our skin. And so to me, when you say spirit as a non-religious person, to me, that's very much in alignment with like the awe that I feel when I experience something in nature, like a mountain range or the stars or recently the eclipse, right? Like different things like that are awe-inspiring for me. And so listeners, as we're talking about these things, different sort of references, I think, can bring in that aspect to how you perceive the different kinds of messaging. And for me, there is really strong science that supports experiencing awe and being happy in general lead to better all over health. Period. End of story. Like the Harvard studies on that, a bunch of different work. And so sure. I'm curious what else in the work that you're doing are supported by science. So when you talk about specifically nourishing our bodies and understanding how the food and the gut and all these kinds of things play into our health, what are the pieces of that that we can scientifically look at and say that is very separate from modern society's diet culture versus the things that help our bodies feel nourished, feel strong, feel our best, blah, blah, blah.
Sure. So my whole world is science and investing in science and digging into science and writing papers to publish on science. It's funny because I'm married into a very Western medicine family. And my whole philosophy is so Eastern. And so I'm so fired up to publish science in their language so they understand how valid Ayurveda is. But what's cool is in all the recent decades, so much of what Ayurveda said for 5,000 years is being proven by science. So in the 70s, these three Nobel Peace Prize winners won that award for proving that the circadian clock is valid. And so all of Ayurveda was like, yeah, we knew that, but cool. Thank you for publishing that and compelling modern science to then take that wisdom and go way further. And now they're looking at the genes and chronobiology is going to be part of the future of medicine. And so I love where we can try to all meet in the middle because there's so much divide out there. And really, we're all right. We all have different things that we bring to the table. And why can't we all just be cohesively at this table? So to me, the turmeric, ginger, polyphenols, and super spices have more and more science published all the time, both in animal models, but also in human models. Like we do human trials on knee osteoarthritis with curcumin, and we prove all day that it's as effective as NSAIDs with less side effects and less adverse events. So that's been a major part of my area of study and where I want to push more science forward. Diet. We know that a diet that's diverse, that has nutrient density, nutrient variety, is better than these very restrictive diets that don't support a good microbiome. We have a lot of science on the gut microbiome, and that was a central tenet of Ayurveda. So that gets all of us excited. So we want to keep talking about the gut. Sleep. There's so much science on sleep. And Ayurveda taught sleeping by 10 and sleeping from 10 to 2 on the clock is the most rejuvenative time of day. And now you see all of modern wellness saying sleep on time, put on your blue light glasses, turn off the devices. And so it's cool to see how much science is being published in that arena as well. So really, I look at it as there's this explosion of science that day after day is validating what ancient wisdom always said. And we as women oftentimes have this awareness of our intuition. Women, men, children, like I think a lot of us have intuitive senses and we close those off or shut those off for various reasons. And if we can just open back up to our body is telling us what's true, our body has knowledge, then we can be open to what we need to eat, what we need to drink, what our body needs, because we are so bio-individual.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Boncharge, maker of science-backed wellness products. And I recently shared about their award-winning photobiomodulation tool, or what you might call a red light mask, on social, and people went wild because I shared the science. It is so strong. Low-level laser therapy uses light to stimulate healing, relieve pain, and reduce inflammation. And in a systematic review and meta-analysis, red light and near-infrared light, like the Boncharge mask, were determined to have cosmetic benefits, including to reduce signs of aging, but also reduce scarring, dark spots, and blemishes while promoting firmer, more even-toned, and youthful skin. Not to mention help with psoriasis, rosacea, melasma, and other inflammatory skin conditions. And study shows that it lasts up to 1 month after stopping the use of the mask, which is a sign of lasting cellular structure rejuvenation of the skin. How? Well, red light stimulates a protein that enhances energy production in human cells. And this boosts mitochondrial efficiency, which supports cellular efficiency and facilitates the body's healing process, which is why dermatologists, skincare experts, and scientists recognize the potential of red light therapy for not just rosacea and aging, but even autoimmune and other inflammatory conditions. The Boncharge mask plays a vital role in your health while improving skin quality. And you can start tracking your skincare goals in quick 10 to 20 minute sessions from anywhere in your house. And the mask's flexible design contours perfectly to your face, and it is legitimately very comfortable. I chose Boncharge because it's award-winning, consistently positive reviews, and is super easy to use. It's cordless and effortless, which means I will actually use it, which, let's be real, is the most important thing. Order the Boncharge Red Light Face Mask today and start seeing the amazing skincare benefits. Trust me, it's worth it. For a limited time, my listeners get 15% off when you order from boncharge.com and use my exclusive promo code WHOLEVIEW at checkout. That's BONCHARGE.com. You'll also get free shipping and a 12-month warranty. Go now to get this exclusive offer. That's boncharge.com with promo code WHOLEVIEW to get 15% off. Think that one of the things that is really interesting to me as I've started to learn a little bit more as it relates to, I'm a super science-minded person like you are, I geek out and I want to dive into so many things, but I'm also fascinated by this fringe element of things that we haven't yet proven, things that feel right to me, like my cycle is synced to the moon. I know that science hasn't proved that yet, but I am 100% positive that they are related because it is literal and factual for me, right? So, and for many others. And we know that like nurses and teachers all say full moon is big time weirdness, right? So there are other things that science hasn't yet shown, but that feel right to me. And for one of those things, for me personally, it's a connection to the elements that the earth provides, which is another way of saying rocks or crystals. And that, do I think that holding a crystal in my hand is going to change everything in a magical wand and blah, blah, blah? No. But I do think that there is something calming about having some of them in the house or being in a crystal shop. Just like, I don't know, it just makes me happy. I love the idea that these vessels are literal, like mineral rich time vessels that are capturing a history of our planet that has preceded even humans, let alone like my generation. And there's something like really deep about that feels special to me. And at the same time, I recognize it's woo and it's supported by science. And I know that there are some elements of what you do that also fall into that fringe area. And I wanted to know, you could talk a little bit about chakras and crystals mm-hmm. and different kinds of things that aren't necessarily in the science set, but are also tangential to the work that you do.
Sure. Thanks for even asking that question. I never get asked a question so fun. I'm normally like knee osteoarthritis, Alzheimer's, circadian, like all the science, genetics. We're doing genetic studies now. One of my favorites is the chakras. And the chakra system from India, from all the yogic sciences, has so much support in terms of, I think modern science will eventually publish so much on it because they'll learn to start correlating the data. They just don't have a tool yet to measure it. But one area that I find interesting is the doshas from Ayurveda. We will have validated science probably in the next 10, 20 years because I'm going to be figuring it out. But like if you have a validated standardized dosha test that you can give across all scientific studies that are done, then you can then correlate dosha to inflammation, dosha to disease pathology, and that kind of correlation. But yes, in Ayurveda, that's interesting. When I was in school, I had a teacher who said, look, you're going to try to help people. You're going to get real passionate about it. You're going to think you can help everyone. But we have this thing called karma. And some people you're never going to heal because they came in with their own chakras, their own imbalances, their own predestined history. And you're not here to unwind it all. It's something that they have to figure out in this lifetime or in the future lifetimes. And I know that's like it's a religious thought of life or not life and afterlife. And everyone has different viewpoints. But it was just interesting to me that they were like, don't think that we're all meant to be healed in this life. We all have a different path. We all have a different journey. And we could have major imbalances that are subtle, that are in the energetic body, deep inside and in our auric field. And you're not going to be the healer for that. They're going to have to find a different type of healer altogether. So once you're done trying your best, start referring out to those people who have those more subtle science abilities. Reiki and healers and that kind of thing. So yeah, there is a lot of that. We very much believe in astrology. Like we as Indians all go to astrologers and we trust their wisdom as like the guiding force of our lives. We read our astrological charts. I know mine. I know my good periods and bad periods. I leverage accordingly. And so I love having that wisdom. I love crystals. I have them all around. I think tokens and rituals and tools and these things all have whatever power we attribute to them. And they have their own innate power and symbolism and wisdom. And we get to tune into that. And I have them by my bed. I have them in my office. That's why they're incorporated into my backdrop because I'm so into them. But I think we can harness the power of a lot more of Earth's wisdom. And that Earth's wisdom that we choose to intuitively bring around us is meant to support us in all the ways that it's meant to. And when we're complete with it, we'll release it and we'll move on.
I like to think about how every drop of water on this planet has likely been touched by a dinosaur, right? And like the power that has that water been affected by that? Because I think most people would think like, well, if I touch water, there's a piece of me that was on that water. And so what is part of the earth and all of the things that are coming to it and the feelings that we have about it. And it's interesting to me to have this kind of juxtaposition of feeling so science-minded and really wanting to, when we talk about things that are facts or can be facts that harm and heal and those kinds of things, I always am going to look to the science. And at the same time, I am going to allow myself to be open to exploring other kinds of things. But I would never tell someone, if you have X, Y, Z issue, just go do this fringe thing. Instead, I love the idea of we can both seek modern medicine and enjoy the benefits of that while also allowing ourselves to seek awe of nature and to connect to those things around us or whatever fuels us, right? It might be different for someone else, but I think it's something that deeply resonates with me and I appreciate that part of your work as well. So I thought it might be fun to talk about it.
Yeah.
I also know that you talk a lot about self-care, which is another area that I am deeply passionate about. And I think the science is so strong, yet somehow we as a society do not prioritize it. And one of the areas that I know you talk about a lot that I would really like to just spend a minute diving into is this idea that as a culture, modern society, especially in the States, we value production, we value progress, we value things that make stress a badge of honor. And there's something really broken about that system that puts a burden, an undue, unnecessary burden on us as individuals. And I feel like you get on that hamster wheel of trying to get ahead in life, trying to be a good mom, trying to be a good employee, trying to be a good neighbor, right? Like you're all these things. And never do we say to ourselves, am I serving my own purpose? Is this the life that I want? Do I even care if I'm a good neighbor? Like, would I rather spend that time focused on myself, my children, whatever? And I love the idea of allowing people to pause in whatever kind of way that serves them. And I know you have a series on your website and YouTube where you talk about some of these modern self-care rituals rooted in Ayurveda. So can you talk a little bit about that and the work that you do?
Sure. So Ayurvedic self-care has been my savior. This whole journey of motherhood has been a long one. My kids are only 10 and 13, but I feel like each phase you're like, it's going to get easier. And then in its own ways, it gets harder because they're now, I have a preteen or teen. And it's like, okay, adjust. The Ayurvedic self-care rituals are called Dinacharya. So it's the 12 self-care rituals that Ayurveda teaches us as part of a daily rhythm, part of building a habit that's going to be not only part of detoxing our bodies daily, but nourishing us and supporting us and feeling our best and feeling whole. So they start with things as simple as when you wake up in the morning, touch the ground, touch your forehead and say thank you. Like just take a moment of gratitude for the awe-inspiring life that you get to have for one more day. And then moving on to when you brush your teeth, do something called a tongue scraper. A copper tongue scraper is a simple health habit that we can pick up where when you scrape the tongue gently 7 to 14 times in the morning, you're going to gently detox the body. Just like in reflexology, all the organs are reflected on the bottom of the feet. In the same way, Ayurveda teaches that all the organs of the body are reflected on the tongue. So by gently scraping, you're detoxing all those organs. You're supporting detoxification. Then we teach oil pulling. That's putting 2 tablespoons of organic, healthy, fresh oil in your mouth, any food grade oil. And that's going to collect all the toxins in your mouth. That one I like because it's a multitasking self-care habit. You can go shower, make your coffee, do other things. But it's going to collect all this toxic burden that happens in the mouth. And when you spit it out in the trash, not the sink, the toilet, or the shower. And so these are just some examples of the detoxing ones. One of my favorites as a mother is one I called Tea Time is Me Time. And I made this one up. But Tea Time is Me Time in modern day times is my way to take a minute to myself a couple times a day and just tune in and ask myself, are you okay? Have you eaten today? Have you structured your day so you get to eat today? Anything this week you need to change so you get to survive the week? And my intuition will start giving me answers like, you need to cancel that. If you don't end your day by 5, you're not going to eat because you have to run and get the kids. Like, I'll get these answers and I'll then start to build blocks of time in so I get to eat or hydrate or take care of myself. Because in the end, if we're not prioritizing self, we're never going to feel whole. We're never going to feel nourished. And we'll never be able to give our best self to the people we love or to anyone else. So like you mentioned about the neighbors, I made a decision a couple of years ago. I come first. I come first above all, even my children, even my spouse. And my friends at first were like, that is so selfish. And I was like, that's not selfish. If you think about it, if I'm my happiest, most vibrant self, what am I naturally? Giving, caring, loving. And so I find that when I do the work, I just want to cuddle my kids and love them. And when we do throw down about my ideas of nature walks and stuff, I have the energy to withstand the fights that we're going to have with love and hold the space where we're still going to do what I'm saying we're going to do because I'm mom, this is the medicine, and this is what's good for us. So I think that level of self-care has been thrown by the wayside and we're taught hustle, grind, win. If you're not trying to be a billionaire, what are you trying to do? And I think it's just, it's so toxic. It's so unhealthy. And we just have to find a middle ground. And Ayurveda teaches always meet in the middle. It's not either extreme that wins. It's meet in the middle. And so where can you build balance, recovery? Sometimes I think of it like an athlete. I'm like, you know what? treat yourself like an athlete. If you were an athlete, would you run yourself into the ground? No. You'd build breaks. You'd build recovery. And so now I treat myself like an athlete. I'm like, are you going to keep pushing or would you like to recover? And then I'll take a full break. No screens. Nothing stimulating. No noise. No news. No podcasts to listen to. Just silence. Or I go walk in nature. And I find the minute I leave my house and walk in nature, I feel 20 times better. So I just like to shift the mindset towards when you are a full vase, everything you have extra runs over. And let's give that to everyone instead of emptying ourselves and leaving ourselves depleted, exhausted, empty, and then diseased, because that's not fair to us in the end.
This podcast is sponsored by my beloved clean hair care, Vegamore, with a 20% discount so you can get the hair of your dreams for less. When it comes to seeing results, the key is consistency, and Vegamore's products have been a part of my routine for years, and I am beyond thrilled to finally have healthy, long hair for the first time since really my teen years, and I can validate that their clinically proven results personally work for me as well. They have been tested to improve density, reduce shedding, and 91% of customers say they saw visibly thicker hair with Vegamore in just 3 months. Plus, all Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and never contain parabens. If it weren't for the results myself, visibly thicker, fuller, much longer, fast-growing hair without all the harsh ingredients, I'm not sure I would believe it. And they even have so many products even for graying hair, lashes, brows, all the things. I personally use the Grow Revitalizing line, and fun fact, Vegamore sells one bottle of their Grow hair serum every 15 seconds on their website. That's how good the stuff is. I also love the shampoo and conditioner. I personally recommend getting the foundation kit, which includes the clarifying serum, and I have that on subscription to help save a little bit extra monthly. And I also add in their styling products, their dry shampoo, which helps me reduce my washing to only once or twice a week, and the spray leave-in conditioner. Obsessed. I'm seriously obsessed with the stuff. Plus, it's heat protection. I have not been able to find a clean heat protection product because sprays are especially important to use safer since inhalation or consumption through the mouth has a higher absorption rate of potential toxins, which is why these products are especially awesome. They are super hydrating without making my hair oily, and it all smells so good, made with fruit oils safely. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/wholeview and use code wholeview at checkout. That's vegamore.com/wholeview, code wholeview to save 20% on your first order. vegamore.com/wholeview, code wholeview. Well, and I think that last point is so important because while we have been taught that self-care is selfish, that's not something that we innately learn. That is societal pressure to not take care of self, right? That you should be doing something else for someone else, which I say on the show all the time, should word is a four-letter word. If you hear it, it's judgment, let it go, rephrase or whatever, to find what's really being said. And so to me, I think the thing that's most important is like, yes, I'm a more compassionate mother. And I think a lot of people, that's what's most important for them is like, okay, well, how am I showing up for others? But eventually in that journey, what you do get to is the realization that you as a person are a healthier person and you will live a longer life. You will live a better, longer life if you are taking care of yourself. And in those, I love that tea time is me time moments. I think also you can listen to your body and hear if there's something wrong, right? Like, oh, did I make my mammogram appointment this year? Did I, all these other kind of things that come up that allow you to pause and say, I need to take care of myself. Because if you don't do those things, then when chronic health issues come up, you're not paying attention to listen to the warning signs, which means that you're going to have a worse outcome. And you're not allowing your body to recover to allow for that cellular regeneration and all the things that naturally happen in our bodies if we allow it to. And so that was something that I really missed for so long. Like, I was so focused on the oil pulling and the tongue scraping and let me do this thing and let me do this thing and let me do this thing, that there was never a pause. And I think those are the things that actually have had the biggest impact for me personally. So I'm really glad that ended there. But I would like to talk about detox for a minute, because I feel like it's such a loaded term and people use it in so many different ways. And so I'm going to be upfront. I'm going to lead the witness here and tell you that from my perspective, detoxing is what your body does for you. Your kidneys, your liver, they serve a purpose. And at the same time, there are things that we can do to support the health and wellness of our body's own natural detoxification process. It is not a coffee enema. It is supporting ourselves with science-backed research that has been shown to be effective, such as dry brushing, using a sauna or exercise to sweat to allow your body to get rid of toxins. So I have pulled some of these together before to try to combat some of the misinformation that floats around the internet so freely. I'm wondering if you can share a little bit about what you mean by detox and where that comes from.
Sure. So in Ayurveda, we teach that seasonal detox is important and annual detox is important. And I agree with you, the body should be able to detox itself. The body is a self-healing mechanism. It is there to survive. So it's going to consistently detox everything it needs to keep us healthy, whole, and safe. The problem is modern day society. It's funny, one of my mentors says we are microbial beings living in an antimicrobial world. And that landed for me so hard. I was like, wow, we're building this like antibacterial world when we're made of trillions of bacteria and our job is to keep that ecosystem healthy.
I just want to say, like, that is such a great way to describe it, because I've heard many people before say, like, you have more bacteria cells in your body than you have your own cells in your body, which, yes, but to hear it the way that you phrased it, I'm like, that is so true.
Yeah. And in the same way, we're human beings who've become human doings. And we've become human beings who living in a very toxic world, unfortunately. It's our own creation. We're causing our own messes in a sense. But between the environmental toxins in the skincare, in the cleaning products, the air quality, water quality, we know there's some issues there. Pesticides and foods, food not having the same nutrient density of minerals and vitamins that it once had due to how we're making it and how we're transporting it. That also is contributing to the body not having all the building blocks it needs to work as optimally as it once did. And so I really look at it as, okay, my body is trying to do its best. But like you named some tools, the sauna, these different tools, they just help support the body's natural process to detox. In Ayurveda, we teach that every year, if you can take a little bit of time to support yourself with what I call radical self-care, whether that's sauna or eating a more anti-inflammatory diet for a week, just eating a little cleaner and dropping inflammation out of the diet is very helpful. There's so many different tools out there now. There's so much fun in the biohacking world, but I find it can get really expensive. Sometimes you can take a week and just go to acupuncture, go to chiropractic, or do a full detox. Go to a place where they're going to do these detoxes to you. But in Ayurveda, we teach that in the intersection of seasons is the best time to do so. So where spring meets summer, where summer meets fall. Because in each season, we might have some natural accumulations. So I mentioned the doshas, which are mind-body constitutions out of Ayurveda. And you could take a dosha quiz to know your dosha. But a pitta person is a fiery person. And you mentioned the elements. So a pitta person is made up of the elements of fire with some water. That person in the summer might get overheated, overburnt. They're like a volcano erupting in the summertime based on where they live and how hot it is. And so after that season, you can release all that, cool it down, clear it out of the way. So you walk into a fall season healthier and ready for it. And you don't have
further doubt. I don't need a quiz. I know that is what I am because I love autumn and I am a fiery one.
Yeah.
Who does not like the summer. So I'm like, you just described to me.
Yeah. And it's so important to know that because then in the summer, like I'm a pitta, I take the summer a little slower. I don't just stay in my fifth gear and go in the summer because then I burn out by the end of the summer. And I'm like, why am I doing this? My career sucks. I can't do this. I don't have to think that way anymore because I knew how to balance within each season. So detoxing can be this beautiful thing we gift ourselves. It doesn't have to be torture. It doesn't have to be green juice fasting till you're like dying. It can be kind and it can be gentle. So when I do detoxes in my programs, I tell people level one is just fill yourself with self-care. Like just fill yourself back up to wholeness. And a lot of people start there because they're depleted. Level two is let's go in the middle. Middle ground is give up one or two inflammatory foods. What can you eat happily and keep in your life? And then level three is like the whole enchilada. Like let's do all the things and get in there. But that's really for someone who needs it. Maybe it's someone who's got an autoimmune diagnosis or is like really suffering with a stack up of symptoms and they want to get in there and put the body into a healed anti-inflammatory state. So the body, again, can figure out how to get itself back into its gear the way it wants to be.
I think it's interesting to hear you talk about inflammation a lot. And I think that's rooted in your PhD. And I'd love if you could share just a little bit about. So when I think about foods as someone who's had a history of eating disorders and diet culture, I never think anymore about what to take away, even though I know that gluten does not work for me and I don't consume gluten. I think instead about what I can add to my life that sure. helps me feel nourished. And for me, that's I usually find that eating more plant-based foods, specifically vegetables, and then also using spices that are rooted in anti-inflammatory benefits like cinnamon, turmeric, and different sort of things. I feel like energy. I feel like myself again when I start pouring into part of it's self-care, right? Part of it's I'm cooking at home and part of it, you know, and I mean all those things. But can you talk a little bit about the benefits of specifically some of those anti-inflammatory spices? I know you have a lot of experience in turmeric, but that's not the only one even that can give us benefits.
True. Yeah. There's a lot of superfoods out there. And when I started using superfoods more, because I was like, oh, they're good for us. I should eat them. I'm an adult now. I cook, so let me incorporate them. I felt like, okay, why are we chasing so many different weird ingredients that I had never eaten? Like there was chia seeds and flax seeds and goji berries and cacao. And I was like, some of these are not yummy to me. So when I researched them, they all said anti-inflammatory antioxidant. And I was like, okay, if we're taking a lot of things for those two benefits, what else can give me that and give me everything all in one place? And so when I was sitting in my Ayurveda herbology classes and we talked about turmeric, I was like, so turmeric does everything. It's anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal. It's so supportive of the immune system. It's going to help with apoptosis, which means just killing off the bad cells we don't need, kills off our zombie cells, which accumulate in us as we age. It has a lot of anti-aging factors, a lot of longevity supporting factors that it does with sirtuins, AMPK pathways, and all these kinds of things that are interesting. And then also brain health, gut health, all these different areas are supported. But I was like, okay, can I just take turmeric and win? Like, can I get there? And so when I studied turmeric, I became obsessed with it and went down the path of building formulas around it. So turmeric's my favorite. If people can't take turmeric, which some people exist who can't take turmeric, they can have ginger. So something as simple as ginger lemon tea every morning is going to ignite the digestive fire. It's detoxing. It's gastroprotective, supports the gastric lining. It's good for digestive health. We already know about its anti-nausea benefits, but it has a lot of other anti-inflammatory benefits to it. And it's a sister to turmeric, so I love it. Like you mentioned, cinnamon is beneficial. I love the adaptogens. So we have ashwagandha, brahmi, shatavari for female and male reproductive organs. So there's a plethora of herbs in Ayurveda that we could bring into our kitchen and use. Even cilantro will detox you from heavy metals. And so just learning to use them and play with them is going to give you a lot of those benefits that you're seeking from superfoods. And you can just make your food more flavorful and you'll have them in your life.
I love the idea of just make food more flavorful and enjoy it. That's a really great way to think about these things and not get wrapped around the axle of perfectionism and getting all of the right things in and removing all of so many things. I feel like that can add more stress than the addition of the things give you the benefit in your life. So I love that approach. I'm wondering if you have any other ideas, because I always like to leave listeners with something positive and actionable that they can take to be of service like, if they listen today and they're like, oh my gosh, I don't even know where to start, what is an idea that you can give them to walk away and feel good about?
The number one healing tool that we have at Ayurveda is to move in nature more. Be in nature or move in nature, which we all have access to. Nature's right outside the door. And so to ground in nature, align in nature, breathe in nature, walk in nature can be so beneficial. If you can do a barefoot in the grass, even better. But I just go for walks. I take my kids for walks. I'll go for a walk. It clears the mind, clears your whole energetic field, lets you release the day, release those stresses, just put them down. And if you can't put them down, it lets you process them. And so I really reach for walking as my number one health tool above everything else.
I love it. And I know that myself and so many people, just being outside, especially sunshine, vitamin D, breathing fresh air, you'd be surprised, but our indoor air is polluted more than our outdoor air. All those things can really make a difference. And I know you have also, you didn't mention it, but you also have a free tool on your website if anybody wants to implement some of the things that you're talking about at ShivaniGupta.com. You can take that dosha quiz and you can implement some of the different things that you've talked about today and explore more.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have the inflammation guide, all sorts of things there for you.
Was there anything you wanted to say to you?
Just that you can find me at ShivaniGupta.com. My Instagram is at Dr.ShivaniGupta. My podcast is Fusionary Health, where I interview a lot of practitioners who are in the space of being holistic and integrative in their approaches. And my goal for everyone is just to get out in nature, move your body, bring your body into balance and wholeness, and do self-care to the level of bringing yourself to the vibrant health that you deserve each and every day.
Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you'd like to keep in touch with Dr. Gupta, you can find her at ShivaniGupta.com, where all of her social handles will be linked. And as a reminder, we'll put a link in the show notes for you to all of the resources and references that we talked about in the show. We actually did a prior pain management show diving into the scientific benefits of turmeric and why and how and all of that kind of stuff. So feel free to check out episode 482, and I'll link that here where we go more in depth on some of this. I'll also link the article that I did on the 8 detoxification tips that tap into your body's own ability to detoxify instead of trying to sell you some sort of scary thing on the internet, and also the references that we use today. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you have a moment, if you enjoyed the show, I would so appreciate if you left a review. I love reading your reviews and comments. It really fuels me up and helps other people decide if they want to listen to the show. It makes a huge difference, but doesn't cost you a thing. So I really appreciate it. And if nothing else, make sure that you hit the subscribe button so that you'll be notified of future episodes. And as always, we appreciate your willingness to be open to grow through your own personal changes. No one is perfect, but in listening, learning, and unlearning, we can choose to become better versions of ourselves for ourselves.